This is the January 27 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Merrill Crowley at AgTraderTalk.com out of Watseka, Illinois. Chip Nellinger joins us from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois. And Sherman Newland is here from Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, WILLAG.ORG. Let's get a list of items I've got to cover for the day. Thank Merrill Crowley at AgTraderTalk.com. We'll start with you. What's on your list?
I think I want to start with one thing mainly. It's just what might happen if Russia does actually invade Ukraine. There's several other things to talk about, but that's quite a subject in itself.
Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing on your list?
Yeah, I think for sure with Merrill that Russia-Ukraine is a huge deal as it relates to our grain markets. Obviously, weather in South America is still going to be a factor, too, in spite of them having some pretty decent rain here over the last couple of weeks. But the weather is still going to be an issue there. So I'd add the weather situation. And, you know, demand seems to be perking up again. Some pretty good export sales this week. And is that the start of a trend? And if so, you know, maybe the USDA is a touch low on what their projections are.
And Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities on your list.
I don't know if there's any one thing in particular. I mean, you know, Chip and Merrill brought up several good ones. I mean, you know, a lot of talk lately about acres. That seems to be a nice subject that eyes are starting to revert to talk about in the markets, and then, you know, the weather and the crop size in South America. You know, what's going on with wheat and the crop conditions. You know, we have drought concerns, we have high fertilizer prices, you name it. There's a lot of things to talk about.
Let's start with the Russia-Ukraine issue. Merrill Crowley, the last time around that Russia made a move across the border was into Crimea, which at the time was part of Ukraine. They waited until after the Olympics then. Of course, it appears that President Xi in China would prefer that nothing happen, at least at this time, to take away the spotlight from Beijing. Will they wait this time? And what does happen if Russia invades Ukraine?
The obvious thing is the corn and wheat. Ukraine is ranked number one in sunflower seed, which is going to affect the oil market. Number six in corn and barley, number seven in rapeseed, number nine in wheat and in soybeans. So there's pretty good size impact even on the soybeans. Russia, however, is the two together, I should say, have about 16% of the corn and 12% of the world wheat. So the initial thought pattern with people being short bought for the most part, not having a lot of stocks on hand, would be that wheat and corn would go up. Last week we saw, or maybe it was earlier this week, we saw four exporters pull back on wanting to book anything on farther out. They since have come back into the market, but if you noticed how the market jumped, like on Friday. So that's the first thing. Well, that's kind of the most obvious. The next thing is oil. You know, they're big oil in Russia. And so you'd expect oil markets to spike. J.P. Morgan's talking about it going to $150 a barrel if there's an invasion. Then that would take GDP to just 9% annualized the first half of the year and more than doubling inflation to 7.2%. We have their assets. How many people are going to run out of their assets and run into the dollar? We already have the dollar as a shortage. You know, there's not enough dollars in the world, even though we seem to just keep printing them. And so there might be a bigger run into the dollar as a safe haven and as a some countries trying to replace the Russian and the Ukrainian currencies. That's what I guess my biggest look is, how the currency is going to trade. We already got the dollar today moved to the highest move since the lows in 2021, and it looks like it could go higher. So that's the biggest moves I see at this point.
Sherman Newland, you mentioned anhydrous ammonia, natural gas, nitrogen, and fertilizer. Of course, Russia-Ukraine issue is related because natural gas is likely to come from the United States, be shipped overseas to support Europe. I think already is in the planning should Putin move into Ukraine and or move to cut supplies off running across the pipeline that goes through Ukraine to Western Europe. How much of a concern should that be for farmers in the United States?
I mean, you know, it's going to be a concern. You know, like just for instance, though, urea prices have dropped, you know, quite a bit here lately. So it's kind of, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But some fertilizer prices are coming down. But like you said, though, if something would happen, I could see that, you know, being a sharp spike in fertilizer prices again, because, you know, our supplies are going to be shipped over there. You know, they shouldn't have went along with that Nord Stream 2 pipeline. The past administration, you know, warned them against it, but now Europe is dependent upon Russia for their heat, and they closed down all their nuclear plants. So, you know, we're going to have to deal with it one way or the other, it sounds like. But higher fertilizer prices are not really what I'm hearing down the road. So, but if that would happen, I could see it being, you know, a drastic effect on it going forward. I mean, they're already high enough. I mean, ammonia's still priced at $1,500 a ton. You know, potash and DAP's twice of what it was last year in that 800 area. So inputs are definitely, you know, on everybody's minds for this coming season.
And inflation already playing into the fertilizer market for producers in the Corn Belt, in South America as well. Chip Nellinger, is inflation a big concern of yours going through the 2022 calendar year?
Well, it is. You know, I think it's a moving target. Obviously, the Federal Reserve is indicated they're going to raise interest rates largely to combat that, but not till March for the first one. And, you know, I'm not so sure that inflation will be as responsive to this interest rate increase, the first one, assuming it's a quarter of a percent, 25 basis points, because it's you know, kind of structural with the supply chain. And so, yeah, my fear is that you know, the at least initially, the knee-jerk reaction to the stock market seems to be for lower in response to the anticipation that interest rates are going to increase from the Federal Reserve. And, you know, I think so far there's been a lot of money that's flowed out of commodities into hard assets. Funds have really been aggressive on the long side, not only in, you know, the grains, but I think our livestock markets, really anything, obviously the energy markets, crude oil up near $90 now. So I think, yes, you know, I think inflation, at least the first half of this calendar year, is going to be the theme. Is it going forward? Is it an 18-month, 24-month type of a situation? I think it probably depends on how fast and how aggressive the Federal Reserve is. And a lot of people, myself included, think that they're a little bit backed into a corner now. If they raise too far too fast, you risk a big correction in the stock market, wiping away, you know, a lot of wealth in the process. And so they've really backed themselves in a quarter, and not sure how it plays out, but my expectation is for at least the first half of 22 that we're going to have inflation. And, you know, some of these issues, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, I think the South American crop size certainly is smaller than what the world thought it was going to be 90 days ago. And if it shrinks much more, you've got some bullish, you know, tailwinds from that. And this thing could be extremely volatile and really quite interesting the next few months here.
And I'll follow up with you, Merrill Crowley, if you have something to add on inflation, or if not, you can turn your attention potentially to what the technical side of the marketplace looks like and what some of the upside and downside targets.
Inflation-wise, Sherman put out a good point that we're seeing the natural gas prices pull back. I think I read where, if I'm not mistaken, Russia's got like 30% of our phosphorus and potash that they produce and ship over here. But my main point was more the fact that we're seeing the natural gas pullback, and some of these companies are starting to see the urea come down. My wife also works for a steel plant. They're seeing steel prices drop down. This might just be a temporary thing, and they might go back up. But one thing that was put out early is the fact that if everybody is panicking and they're making orders, say, twice as large just so they can make sure they get their the number they want or need. And it's kind of interesting. I've been watching this happen with the steel manufacturing company my wife works for. People that order are ordering more and more, trying to get just enough to get by. At some point, that bites you when you get all these products shipped and moved in. The other thing about inflation, you know, because then you have an oversupply. The other thing about inflation is in the past, if it hurts the stock market and the stock market starts backing up, money doesn't rest, it moves. And Sherman also pointed out that, you know, some of this money's moving, and Chip did too, that it's moving into the commodities. So we could still see a lot of money coming out of the stock market and going into the commodities to help investments reap a return.
Are we building a house of cards, do you think, with this that could collapse?
Well, just from the fertilizer and the steel right now, I do see that potential. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
And have you thought about where the upside targets are for corn at this time?
Upside, I'm still in the same place I have been. There's a gap sitting up there in May. When the May went off the board last year and the new one came off this year, and it's at 685 for corn, and then for beans it's 1598. Same thing happened, left a gap. And although that sounds funny, I watch the gaps in December and November fill a lot when they make them, and kind of expect that we might see it again. I still think we need a couple other weather scares, if not just here, maybe in the U.S., to help us push us over that, or maybe the invasion, and I really would hate to see the invasion be a part of that, but I don't see everything in place fundamentally to give us enough push yet to those prices, but that's kind of where I'm looking at, and I'm looking for a high to happen in the May time period, and that simply comes in 2014, it was dry down south, or South America, we got a high in May. 2018, same thing. 2021, same thing. Well, here we go again. We got a drought down there in South America, and it would suggest that we would see something in the May highs.
Would you agree with that, Chip Nellinger?
Yeah, I think that could easily be seen now with all these potential, bullish items out there. We don't know the final size of the South American crop yet, if that continues to shrink, or we haven't even talked about the second crop corn in Brazil. You know, they're certainly in a hot, dry pattern down there. If that continues into March and April and you threaten that second crop corn, all bets are off and things get really interesting. So, yeah, I think, I don't know that we'll get there, tomorrow or next week necessarily, but I think those upside gaps that Merrill talked about are certainly a possibility. I'd just add to your question from earlier about the potential house of cards, and I think we are building ourselves a house of cards. It might be 12 or 18 months out, but if you do finally, get interest rates taking an increase and taking effect in the world economy, and the world economy slows down, and we happen to, come into the very real possibility that the United States and then back-to-back South America hit, large or near record crops, at the same time, prices have rallied and choked demand down, it could very well be a house of cards. And I don't know that it's in calendar year 22, but it certainly could be on the horizon. I'm very concerned about that eventually.
As of recent times, Sherman Newland Wheat has been a leader in the marketplace. Part of that because of Russia, Ukraine. Another part is simply fundamentally the wheat market around the planet and in the United States. The Southern Plains are still suffering through a drought. What are acreage, what are conditions for wheat like in the U.S. at this point? And what does that mean for soft red winter wheat producers like yourself and others in the southern part of Illinois, Indiana, parts of Missouri?
Well, it's been pretty cold on wheat. You know, I don't know if it's we've had any damage, but we don't have any snow coverage at all, you know, around through here. And like you said, the conditions, you know, have been dropping everywhere, especially out west. They're in a, you know, they're in a drought. I mean, you know, just I think that's not going to go away anytime soon. So I think from that standpoint, you know, the wheat crop could be in some trouble. I think it, you know, warrants, you know, watching. I think it warrants, you know, the prices not to completely collapse. But, you know, the last 2 days, I mean, the wheat markets went down. I said yesterday, the wheat's telling you that they know something about Russia, or they're tired of trading, you know, the Russia news. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't completely go down, because I think it's been weighing on the corn market the last day or two quite a bit as well. So, you know, we'll see. But the wheat, I don't know, the wheat I've seen around here doesn't look overly great, you know what I mean? And crop conditions in Illinois continue to drop. January 23rd, the crop rating for wheat was 42%. So, good to excellence. That's not very good right now, because it's, you know, we're dry. We haven't had any moisture for quite some time. I think there's some rain in the forecast, but the ground's froze right now, so it wouldn't do us a whole lot of good if we did get some rain.
Can you address acreage issues in the United States as well? And I'd like to start in the western United States, probably in Kansas, to begin with, because we are talking about wheat. And if that crop needs to be torn up, I'm wondering whether it goes to soybeans, or potentially, because it's so dry, whether it goes to sorghum. It could go, some of it could go to corn, depending on whether it's in the south central portion of Kansas, where I think soybean is the place it might go. North central could be sorghum, I would guess. So what are your thoughts as it relates to how acreage will shake out in the western United States, Sherman?
You're right. I mean, it very well could be tore up, depending on how it comes out of dormancy. You know, they typically will get some more rain in the spring, so we'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, it could go to, in my guess, it would be either soybeans or grain sorghum, and not to corn. Inputs are just, you know, too high for what their yields are out that way, in my estimation. So, you know, if you want to talk acres, these acreage numbers that's been, you know, floated around, I don't know, they're all over the place. I see the guys from U of I are, you know, at 96 million acres for corn. That seems pretty darn high. You know, Sparks or IHS Market was at 91.5. That seems to be a little bit more in line. A couple of them are out there at 93 million acres for corn. I think our total acres are what they are. I mean, I don't think we're going to miraculously come up with, you know, 5-6 million more acres of cropland to be planted. I think, you know, the low 90s for corn and the mid to upper 80s for beans makes more sense to me, because, you know, we're probably going to have more cotton. We're going to have probably maybe more spring wheat, you know. There's a lot of different, you know, grains that can be planted, you know, that's going to take away from the possibility of what the corn acreage could be. So a high corn acreage numbers to me seem like it's, you know, off the table with the high inputs that we have.
Merrill, your thoughts on acreage?
That's kind of a little too soon for me on acreage, but I guess if I'm talking wheat, I'd have to agree with some of what Sherman has said, especially with the sorghum going in or milo to replace some of the wheat that may not, you know, may have to be replanted. I think another point would be if you had that and you happen to have the Russian invasion, I think the wheat prices would be really high. It'd be awfully tempting to do either spring wheat or maybe just abandon it and take prevent plant. Corn and beans, I really think we have a good possibility of maybe having a higher bean number than corn this year, but not by a lot. I mean, I think they'll be close.
Anything add to this acreage issue, Chip?
Yeah, I guess personally, I would agree with Merrill that, you know, going to be hard in my mind to pick up a lot of corn acres, you know, and I think Sherman, you know, pointed that earlier. A lot of other products out there, cotton, you know, sunflower oil, canola, spring wheat in the north, oats, you know, recently made all-time highs. You know, it's hard for me to envision that you're going to pick up a bunch of corn acres with the highest input costs we've faced ever. I know personally producers in, you know, the southern part of Indiana, Kentucky, that have told me firsthand that they're going to be switching from corn to beans because they weren't able to get the inputs locked in. They tried, they just couldn't get anyone to give them a price because they were fearful of not getting the product at the time, and inputs shot up. And so I just am not in the camp of a huge amount of corn acres. Now, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, if December corn shoots up to $6 or $6.10, that might be a different story. So prices still do matter, I think. But I would agree, I'm not in the camp that we're going to have a tremendous more amount of corn acres in there. And, you know, if some of these things play out with Russia or, you know, poorer crop than expected in South America, it gets really potentially pretty bullish corn out there eventually.
For those who are interested in the University of Illinois numbers, they were developed for the first time and released on November the 29th, 96 million acres of corn. I don't quite remember the soybean number, 85.5. And then just this week on the Farm Doc Daily website, so you should be able to go back and find it easily enough, Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen reposted that, still staying because of the high price of corn. And based on how normally farmers react to it, they still are thinking there's a possibility of 96 million acres of corn. You can read their thought process again at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. A couple of other things that we should take up. You can pick up cash prices now for $14 soybeans, old crop, $6 corn. Is there any reason that producers should not make those sales with corn that's either in the elevator or the bin? And I'll start with you, Merrill, and then just work my way back through Chip and Sherman.
Because they think it's going to go higher.
I didn't. Good enough.
What is their situation? You know, because each situation is different. There's been pockets that got hit, you know, with poor yields. So I don't know how they're coming out. And as much as I kind of think we are going to see higher prices, we have a real good opportunity to hit those gaps and fill them. Beans right now are knocking at the door of the low end of the gap, and I think corn is too in the May charts. But just because that's what I think or what we think is going to happen, the Mother Nature can come in here and start giving us great weather. I know there's I saw an article the other day about how they believe that La Nina may be finally disappearing with El Nino coming right behind it. So there's a lot of what-ifs. I think you need to use some risk management, take some money off the table if it's profitable for you, and or if you want to, if you don't feel like it's done, you could put a floor in by selling your cash and buying some calls to open up your upside. But do something to manage your risk.
Chip Nallinger.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Merrill. I mean, the gross dollar figures here staring at us in the face are just enormous. It comes down to, you know, case-to-case scenario, obviously. But I would get down to gambling stocks. I wouldn't want, you know, half or two-thirds of my 21 production unpriced at this point. Just too many dollars staring at us. And to Merrill's point, it can be something. It seems like there's a black swan, you know, instead of once every 10 years, it's every 3 months now. And there could be something on the horizon that no one has even thought about right now that changed the name of the game in a heartbeat. And so in this uncertain world, I think it's important to, you know, look at the gross dollars, and they're tremendously large right now for the 21 crop especially.
And Sherman, if you could address both old and new crop, I would appreciate it.
You bet. Yeah, I mean, old crop, I mean, here's the thing. Guys made a lot of sales, you know, at good levels during the 21 season. I mean, they collected those checks probably after the first of the year. You know, so they're not hurting for cash at the moment, needing to make a lot of sales. So they're sitting back waiting to see what happens. I mean, I get it. I understand it. But I agree. You know, I think, you know, on these days like this, even though I still think we can go higher, You need to, you know, lay in some sales for old crop corn and beans both. I mean, I think it's the smart thing to do. And then come back in and, you know, like Merrill and Chip both said, I think you buy some calls or do some call spreads, something like that, if you think this thing can go higher, and tackle it in that shape. New crop, I haven't sold a whole lot. I did make a sale of new crop beans this morning when we were at 1340 for cash, just a little bit. Now I'm probably about 4% sold on new crop beans, so I'm not very far along. And probably about that same amount on corn. I'm kind of holding everything close to the vest on my corn new crop sales here at the moment because inputs are high and I have not bought any inputs. We didn't get a chance to get anything bought. So I'm sitting here waiting. Now, if you're a producer that did buy a lot of inputs and that don't have anything sold, I think that's a whole different story. I think you need to make some sales because you do not, you know, like Chip said, you do not want a black swan event to come around, you know, and wipe out higher prices and then still be stuck with high input prices that you had to pay for. But, you know, like I said, I'm laying in some crop sales here and there on corn and beans a little bit. I'd rather see corn go to $6. I still think we have some upside potential because I agree with everybody. I don't think the crop in South America is as big as what people were originally thinking. So, you know, if it continue to get smaller, I think upside potential could be a little bit more than what we expect.
And Marilyn, Chip, and I'll start with you, Chip, new crop advice.
Yeah, new crop. I agree totally. You know, we've taken the tact of maybe laying into some new crop bean sales lightly here, 20-25%. We obviously did a little bit early with the idea that if we were early, it's going to drag corn higher as well, and it has so far. So haven't really sold much new crop corn. Case-by-case scenario, though, if you were one of the lucky ones and you locked in those inputs, you know, very early and got them before they shot up, you know, 570 December corn futures is pretty wildly profitable. I wouldn't talk anybody out of selling a little bit there. If you don't have inputs locked in, you know, a little bit different story. And so I think it's case by case, but we definitely have had some bean sales made. I think if we get up north of 1350, approach that 1375 level for November beans, we'll probably lay into a few more. But, you know, you got to use all the tools available this year, especially because of the uncertainty. You could have still wild volatility like, you know, we saw last summer. And this thing is going to be a bumpy ride along the way and get pretty gut-wrenching psychologically, I think.
And Merrill Crowley, your new crop advice, and we'll close out the show with this.
We're about 25% sold corn and beans for a new crop. We made a 5% sale for a 23 crop on corn, and that market seems to be going up pretty solidly. You know, one of the black swan events that people would even a few have talked about it, but what if Russia decides to back off and it's not advantageous for them to move right now? That's been a big supporter for corn and wheat. They could drop pretty hard and leave you holding the bag. It just looks to me like I saw an article the other day, farmers holding back grain and soybean sales in a bet prices will continue to rise. How many droughts have we seen it rise and rise, and then the next thing you know, it's done, over with, and you're dropping 20% off the highs in a flash. So I take advantage, work into it. You know, the only way you know if the first sale was too low is hindsight, and you can't change it. And if it was your best sale, then you're really in trouble. So again, take some risk off the table.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Merrill Crowley from AgTraderTalk.com. He's in Watseka, Illinois. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And Sherman Newland at Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.